Rest this up, sit down.
Oh, thank you.
Deep down, deep within the chromosomes lie the traits of us all. Traits or traitors. So many things to avoid, so many traps that appear truly benign upon their plausible faces. But that's not Beale's immediate problem.
My next step is not every step, not each placing of one foot in front of the other, but the next step. The one I have to make at the top of the flight, where the square of the landing,
with its gibbering poster spewing wonderful advice,
waits like a hungry landmine. Take my advice. Don't take advice. Especially from the head that hides behind the poster.
The heads that you must wear. Thanks be to the future. What a grip you have upon the past.
And so here I am, caught in this sequestered space, this cage of strange containment.
Through some distant offspring not yet born.
And I follow the rods of my stair as though driven by a memory of freedom.
Yet how true is that freedom? The freedom of the rat maze?
Waxing poetical, waxing metaphorical. The tedium of climbing sets my mind dancing free.
Watch out, there's poetry about.
And you can keep it. Poetry won't get me off this treadmill. Won't free me from this task of cleaning the bloodline. Can't release me from solving the problems of others.
If God had wanted poets, he wouldn't have made commitment. We could all be dreamers then, with nothing to do but twist words and carve strange images. But the scripts of living demand our feet upon the ground and our heads below the clouds.
And as for me, well, I've got stairs to climb. No time for the niceties of language.
All hail to the double helix. Four stairways and four rifts to heal. Adenine, guanine, thymine and cytosine.
I'll get you all in the end. I just wish that somebody had given me a choice. Actually raised the question. Now that would have been really nice to be asked.
But whoever promised that life would be just?
No one.
And even if they did, it would be the promise of a politician, the word of an assassin. Ergo, no point in talking. The next step awaits.
And here we go again.
And the head said,
Ich weiß, ich weiß, ich weiß. And take the next step. Ich weiß, ich weiß, ich weiß. Take the next step. Take my advice, take my advice. Take my advice and take the next step.
Leave the flesh to fade in sleep form. Leave the flesh to fade in sleep form. Leave the flesh to fade in sleep form.
So put the head on. Time had frozen while Beale settled within his host's body and sorted out the memories. The man was John Rowell, a lead miner, and he was sat in a kind of wooden hut. Beale swallowed deeply with his mind, his own mouth wasn't present, for he suddenly knew where Rowell was sitting. It was a double-seater privy, cleansed by the water channel which ran beneath the carefully smoothed plank. It was the mid-19th century, and Rowell was reaching toward the foul bum rag which was hanging from a nail. There was nothing that Beale could do to stop him. Time resumed its normal course, and Beale had no eyes to close. Naphtha lamps, fizzling and spitting. Hat-fixed candles, guttering strangely. The fading of light behind as shadows take on their own lives. Cutting into the rock, taking their living from the bones of the earth.
Where the company owners take their livings from us.
But that is the way of things, and the way things will be.
We do better than the coalers, John. And the men who build the ships.
Yet all of us still toiling for those who hold the wages.
The silent peat fire burned in the old range of the lodging shop, the small blue flames evasive and quick, their scent mixing with the odours of tallow and sweat, of dirt and rot, and becoming a stench. Rats fought and loved in the rafters while men drew on clay pipes, their lungs silting with dust, their veins running with lead like the hills they mined. Their spit was black.
In all labour there is profit.
And if the owners didn't make the profits, there'd be no work for us.
Aye, the only profits that preach no hope of deliverance.
John, I know that times are hard. We've had a bad winter and a stinty of little hay, but better times are coming.
Tell that to the Germans and the Spaniards. They undercut English prices at every turn. And as for the mining bargains we strike with the company, they give up less and less ore with each passing year.
What's got it in?
Pocket if I know.
The smithy's forge was banked down for the night. The washing floor and crushing mill were stilled and silent. Ponies stood in the straw of their musty stalls like dark carvings. All things waited for the next day's work.
But I hear the company's buying new machinery, steam engines and the like.
Ah, you hear, but have you seen? And if these stories are true, they must be sorely worried by falling prices to spend such money. They need greater shipments of ore. Ore produces machines, Pierce, not that of a man. Remember how we struck when the Triton Post fixed ours upon us? The few freedoms we can hold dear, my friends, will be crushed by those machines.
It will mean more work for us, Brother John. More lead bows, more food for the families.
More work for us and less for our sons. The lead will go from the hills that much quicker when the machines begin their labours.
Men grew quiet. Some laughed at the scorn of unease.
You know what it is, don't you?
He won't, Welsh. He's not the type, is he? There's been lead worked in these hills for thousands of years.
Aye, and you see anyone putting it back? We score the hills with no thought or care and leave them lying empty.
The Lord will provide, John Rowell.
Beale squirmed as Rowell held his tongue and tried vainly to force a reply from the man, but he had no way of reaching his host to drive him on, and Rowell had good reason for his silence. He knew that it was not wise to arouse the anger of a lay preacher. The Methodist influence was too great in the Dales, yet something of Beale's ire seemed to filter into Rowell's mind.
Provide? Provide what? Look at the provision all around us. Why do we live like this? Three men to a bunk and a boy sleeping at their feet. Filthy living conditions more dangerous than the mines, and they kill us soon enough. And all of us parted from our homes and our families. Our lives are not our own, and not worth the boxes we're buried in.
There are some things we have to do, John Rowell. It is our lot. But it seems to me there's more to your complaints than how we live or die. And I say again, there are some things we have to do, and that includes you, whether you like it or no.
Rowell fell silent, and the other men looked away, with eyes downcast. The preacher's words were heavy laden with truth and duty, and struck a solid blow. Candles were pinched out, bunks climbed into, last words exchanged. Rowell stared at the ceiling by the dim light of the fire. It was lagged with padded sacking and seemed to bear down to smother him. Death was forever on his mind these days. The sleep of a labouring man engulfed his worries, and the dreams crawled out like the prowling of hungry lynxes, ears flat and listening, their taut haunches poised to spring. It was Beale's recurring dream, but Rowell saw it too.
I was back as black as spinning speech, spinning across it, rolling over and over as though skewed on the spit, while the beach turned like a giant scour, relentlessly peeled over. Taking my skin from the flow of movements and stakes that charged down up some stray trail to be trapped by times with exponential practice. And then my flesh was ground away, and the bone muscles, and my internal tumultuous spreading out without street decorations for some hideous banquet. But I didn't die, die, die. Life is never so easy. On with my soul, still spit, and still tear out the only one then spits with the pain.
John! John Rowell! Anybody seen John Rowell?
The maggot of dead innocence was eating at his soul. Retreating to the hills, he faced the devil's advocate, the probing of his fears, the questioning of conscience, but the life of a loved one pressed upon his heart. And down in the Kilrook mine, a borehole was finished.
We have our families to feed, John, and our stints to farm, and the company gave us the schools.
Schools fast by the smelt mills. What else can our children see but mining?
And a chapel, Brother John. A jewel indeed.
Aye, a jewel that blinds us with thoughtless mumblings.
And our stints, John. Remember our ownership of the land?
Aye, land won from the hills by the sweat of our forefathers. A burden of family guilt. Land that ties us to the mines so we think ourselves truly wealthy. And land that keeps our women in daily work, less liable to question their lives in idle chat.
Pour in that powder, the black seeker of riches.
Remember the next bargain, John. The rich bargain for which we toil and dream.
Yeah, rich bargains and stints and fine words and dreams. Oh yes, we are well enough tempted to stay where we are. And all of us dying, and some of us murdered.
The pricker, tamping the powder with his metal rod. Just a young lad with hopes of a life and love amidst the struggles.
Murdered, he says. Do you hear him? I know we grow fond of the stock, but he thinks more of that pig than he does his wife, and more of it than all of us. Why do you think he questions beyond his hopes, beyond his station?
I know the reason for his sorrow and his anger, but I say again, there are some things we have to do, and if he fails us in this, he'll be driven from the valley.
Suddenly, he was hobbled by shame, the brutality of the real world. Men were daily risking lives and limbs to provide for loved ones, and he couldn't kill the only pig left in the valley for them. The annual pig killing meant food for all. It had always been so.
The beach. I've had a vision of death, a vision of hell. She has to die for the good of the living.
But still, he had misgivings. Men watched him, ready for the blow, ready to take the mallet if he did not strike, for they knew his deeper thoughts, knew his true emotion.
I know my duty.
Boys stood round in case he failed to stun the beast and it made a dash for life. They were thin and watchful. Times were not kind.
I will not fail them.
The letting knife gleamed. The bowl placed ready to catch the blood. Black pudding for the crofts and houses.
He's going to do it,
thought Beale.
In spite of his love for the animal, he's going to do it.
He was impressed for the shortest of moments. Raoul stood silent and stoic, but screaming in his head.
I have to kill her as my honour and right. This can't be happening.
Ready, Brother John?
This can't be happening. Let her live.
We're all ready, John.
Find your own food. Let her live.
And the world blurred to a distant place. Beale saw what he must do to help his ancestor, and now was his chance. Raoul was in a daze akin to dreaming, and Beale recalled the poster's advice, the voice of the head.
God forgive me, but what else can I do?
And the mallet swung.
I once waited days before I stepped onto that square. It was sitting there, crying out for the descent of my foot. But I wouldn't do it. And what on staircase for? Nowhere else I can go. Can't go down.
Try walking down, and the step dives beneath your feet and laughs at your dilemma. You have to go up. You have to place your foot where fate will have it. The next riser leads to the next riser, and so on and on.
On to the landing where the smug post awaits, ready with the platitudes and stream like pointless rain.
And so, constantly aware of the beaters and the guns, Beale sees dangers in the shell bursts of the parent. Predators in flowers, mercenaries in butterflies. Everything's an enemy and everything a foe.
The past, my present and future, stalks me like a silent beast. Quiet tiger that hungers for my innards. Just one mistake, one slip in clearing the bloodline, and it will fall upon my delicate throat, ripping out my fragile life as though shooing a nervous bird.
Life, a frightened lizard which skitters through our flesh, a churning snake pit that makes little or no sense, a cascade of events which spit and sizzle amongst the coals as we pinball through the lattice of our days, and all conceived from the spinning messages of the gene pool past. A braille dot here, a mirror flash there, and someone else stands confused amidst the lottery of life.
And that's when we're in control. You should try when others hold the marionette strings which keep us from falling.
From falling down the stairs.
The voices in my skull insist the stairs and the spirals of my bloodline's DNA. How surreal, how artistic, and how completely futile.
I'm sure they could invent something a bit more practical.
But who am I to complain? I'm just a hamster in the wheel. The budgie with the mirror, the fool in the maze. And I think I'm about to be used again.
And the head said,
Take my advice. Take my advice and take the next step.
It wants my spirit to meet Winkle. It wants my spirit to meet Winkle. It wants my spirit to meet Winkle.
So put the head on. The lone terrace stood mute-faced upon the side of the smooth-shouldered valley, staring with dark eyes over the clumps and threads of houses which trickled down the plunging slopes into a lonely village. A tired road, wrinkled and sinking with cracked tarmac, dragged itself past the narrow gardens and into the peat-hag wilderness, keeping the sprawls of Manchester at bay. It had once seemed to the people climbing this road that the grim houses were the sentinels of their own familiar world, a last defence of all they held dear. But that was before the first outcomers came with their gaily painted house van and their taste for brighter things. Like all human beings, they strove to make their mark and pebble-dashed the centre house with the colour of melted flesh. The remaining proud houses, their blocks of stone blackened and spattered with lichens and mosses, turned their faces from this new pink horror, but they lost their spirit and their terror like a fallen preacher of damnation, and suddenly they were no longer a warning that anyone heeded, no longer grim. Gaptooth Terrace they became known as locally, and the houses died, as did the people within them, and yet more invaders descended from the city, filling the vacuum of the once busy mills. They brought new windows and doors, concrete paths and crazy paving, a mail-ordered and DIY neatness that engulfed the houses and their small patches of land, and then the gardens grew flowers, not food for hungry families, and their roots were lost forever with the earth. But a single house in Gaptooth Terrace remained stubborn, became the Gaptooth in the midst of the new, cloaked by a holly tree from the modern invasion. The ugly tree struggled from the ground like an agonized hand beseeching from the grave, the flow of its tortured growth frozen like a twisted lava, like the black smoke from a corpse. It was Frank's favorite tree, and his neighbors hated it.
Defending foreign shores, a cause worthwhile, yet merely one more invader in the end. Christianity and profit, congregations and dividends, it's all just a balance sheet, but cannon fodder don't count.
Remember that feeling when you woke up, then realization, your body wasting, your flesh screaming for release? Bamboo cages, beatings, beheadings, stealing from comrades just to stay alive. Survive. Don't ever think about it. Just survive. Don't look at the guards. Avoid the gazes. Don't look at the guards. Survive. You were weaklings. You had surrendered, and they treat you like the animals they thought you were. Men are not men when they surrender their honor. You had given up your right to humanity in their black eyes, but you wouldn't give them your life. You had another to go back for. And then, after the war, waiting at the bus stop while sending his mind blank, praying for that bus to come before they marched through his feelings.
Hey up, Frank, coming for a bellyful.
Turning off his brain, a life-saving skill.
Hey up, Frank, coming to look for lasses.
Closing down his soul, getting through that ordeal.
It wouldn't be a lot to do with a proper lass.
The lowering of the eyes, his orbits blank, avoid the gazes.
It wouldn't be a lot to do with any lass, never mind a proper one.
He knew he existed, and that existence holds worth.
Off to play with your fiddle, Frank.
He held his cello close to him, like a mother seeking comfort.
That's the only thing he plays with, or is it?
Keep back that hatred. Showing it means they've won.
And keeping it means that you've not lost.
That night he played, and the world went away.
You don't play that cello anymore, Frank. Arthritis getting the better of you.
From a child's taunt to total genocide, why bother with things in the mind when cruelty exists all around us?
Covered in dust it is, like you and me, and it's all your fault, always was.
If you were my brother, I'd kill you.
You can't kill me, Frank. You know you can't kill me.
Be quiet then, or I'll kill myself instead. Anything to stop your chattering.
Don't do that, Frank. You owe it to me to stay alive. Every second wrung out of you pays the debt. That's how it is, brother mine, and neither of us can change that.
It's so old, it's half dead.
I'm old. Why not have me cut down as well?
Sleeps on the couch, not in a real bed.
Talk sense, man. It's dangerous. The state it's in, and it's ugly, spoils the whole terrace.
How can you say that about a thing in nature?
Never cleans his house out. Lets robins in the rooms.
And it cuts off the sun from the front of our place.
But what about the birds that perch in the branches? What of their songs?
He's always been funny. They say it was the war that did it to him, but I don't think so.
Birds, they shit on our patio, and they attract the cats who crap in the flower beds. Have you no consideration?
The tree stays.
Come on, Frank, think of your neighbours.
The tree stays.
See reason, Frank.
The tree stays.
Cantankerous old bugger.
You never could talk to him.
The tree stays.
Beale came across a dark horror, a black and writhing cesspit in Frank's mind which he couldn't bring himself to enter. The festering guilt and pain bore a demon which waited, slit-eyed, to burst out and kill, to sever the bloodline in the murder of his progeny. It was a part of the debt.
Upsetting the neighbours, Frank? That's not like you.
Yes, I hear you dancing in the wind. Keep on dancing, my old friend. No blade will be taken to you, not while I'm alive.
You live in a strange world, brother mine, but at least you live.
How could they think of taking a blade to you? I'll take a blade to all of them first, and then perhaps my brother will be happy. Then perhaps he will cease his babblings and leave me alone.
Be careful, brother mine, you speak of murder. But then again, we're not exactly strangers to that.
Why must you always chatter? Can't you ever be still? Can't you ever be quiet?
Beale was becoming worried. Here was a gentle and intelligent man, scarred by the years of brutal captivity, by the years of thoughtless jeers, falling into musings of hideous murder. And for reasons that were kept from him by hellish barriers, he grew nervous. He must not fail the questing staircase through a lack of knowing. His descendant deserved more than that, whoever he was. The release of the night, the refuge of oblivion. While a tree stirs gently in the cool airflow, there comes a place where minds can meet, where minds can meet and mingle.
Can you hear me, Frank? My name is Beale. Can you hear me? These people never leave me alone. Can you hear me, Frank? Can you hear me?
Leave me, leave me, leave me alone.
Can you hear me, Frank? You must hear me.
I can hear you. And then my flesh will drown in the void. My internal organs spreading out like streams of
decoration and being abandoned. I didn't die that way. But an axe came whirling through their dreams.
In one spirit, meet and mingle? How can I do that with those slant-eyed yellow bastards?
And Beale yelled,
don't do it, Frank!
Meet and mingle with those who pour their scorn?
Yes, do it, Frank, and get that axe!
The bloodline rippled in fear for its life.
Mingle with the gossips who shun and moan?
Sharpen it, do it, Frank!
So Beale yelled,
don't do it, Frank!
I'll do it, all right, I'll have an end of it all!
Don't kill your progeny, Frank! Kill your neighbours, by all means. Don't kill your children.
All of you voices, leave me alone!
Don't do it, brother mine! Not that, not to me, not to us!
Brother and tree, be silent now!
And then Beale saw into the black and writhing cesspit, saw that terrible night when twins were born and when a grieving man knew that two would die. He saw the pillow descend, the cries of new life smothered that one might live, and saw the small grave covered by the roots of a darkened sapling. And so a debt was born.
To hell with you all!
To hell with me.
Don't do it, brother mine. Remember the debt!
The debt is paid in one spirit, meet and mingle.
The tree creaked and fell. Frank screamed under it, and a spirit left its grave to meet and mingle, and only then did the bloodline relax.
Voices have been talking again, telling me things.
To help you or to drive you mad?
Who can say?
And is anybody really bothered?
Yet here it is, despite the storm. My wonderful descendant president, the president, whatever that means. And so, my president of the future, I've got to make things easy for you, have I? Clear away the cross since your history made you fit for office.
How fallen are the mighty, and how used are the least of us.
Who can fight against destiny?
Destiny? It's the classic excuse for failure.
And that's what means for excuse. I've told you I've got stairs last night. And I've been using it.
And the head said,
Take my advice. Take my advice. Take my advice and take the next step. Take my advice. Take my advice. Take my advice and take the next step. Take my advice. Take my advice. Take my advice and take the next step.
So put the head on.
Procreation. I'm smothered by the uterus. Children.
He's got his father's eyes.
Bound by my ovaries.
The family line.
Are you coming down for Christmas?
Chained by my womanhood.
Reproduce or be damned.
Tied by the fallopian.
She doesn't seem to want him. She always was a funny one.
Ah, you can say that again. She were asking doctor about pill the other day. She's not right in the head, I tell you. God help the poor bastard if she ever gets up the duff. But who carries on the line? That's what sons are for.
Husband, how you loved me for your heir. Son, how you loved me for your life. Parents, how you kept me for my duty. Gene pool, how you danced me to your song. I lie in this box and I hear all the laughter. The laughter of the genes as they push us through our paces. And we always think that we're in command. But then again, who's really fooling who?
Beale's first thought was to somehow explore the woman's body. Female orgasm flitted through his mind, and then he realized the woman was dead. Almost.
Men have killed her. The males have killed her. Focus that hatred. Find that whipping boy.
A woman's place is in the home. Deal with Bankhurst.
All men are rapists. All men think through the dicks.
But whatever happened to people? Surely they still exist.
It was a night like any other.
You must remember those.
Drinks on me, boys.
The curtains drawn, the doors locked, all closed up for the night. Or so it would seem to the passing panda, passing on to his warm bed and quiet life.
What will you be having, big bopper?
More than's bloody good for me, I know that.
Well, again?
And how will it be tonight, I wonder? Much like any other. Don't be born, child of mine. You will not care for this world of ours.
Oh, God, help me.
Better out than in, I suppose. But I bloody well pay for that lot. So someone else will pay for this.
I didn't ask for any of this. I don't want any of this.
You'll be all right tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. Business as usual.
She never was a one for being well, right, creaking gate?
They say it was him, but they can't prove it.
Junk again, was he?
So they say.
Such a shame, such a shame, such a shame for him to be so young without a wife.
And for the poor little Bill.
Isn't he a dear? Oh, such a shame, such a shame.
And for her. Oh, so they say.
Husband, you have your heir. Son, you have your life. Parents, you have your memories, and gene pool, you have your waves. But as for me, death is not my destiny.
Have you heard what happened?
Drunk again, was he?
Drank the lake.
White as a fish.
Died of guilt and Guinness.
And so soon after.
Poor little thing.
Probably a blessing.
In more ways than one.
And so the tongues wagged like a cracking of whips, like a mobbing of wolves, like a murder of crows. Beale let the memories wash over him, malignant waters of freezing hatred. He wallowed in the anger, bathed in the rage, but saw the bloodline's danger. The husband had died, but the son was still alive, and the wraith, once woman, seething in her coffin, could not let that be. The son must also die, for the males had killed her, and quite fitting was the fate she plotted, biding the years till the time was right.
Those curtains drawn.
Cozy as a crate of ale.
Well, then, I think another round is called for. Another round all round, eh, lads? What about you, Bopper, too? You've only had the one pint so far. You'll have to get a lot more than that down before the real drinking starts. Man can't stay sober on his birthday, you know.
No, I don't think I'll bother tonight, lads. I'm feeling a bit knackered. I'll get home early for a change.
Doesn't take after his old dad, does he?
But he will do with every pint you slop.
Even he had his limits.
Till he got all those.
Call that a home. Call it a hellhole.
How are the bruises?
Healing nicely.
Strange what those can do.
Stranger though, the roots of our lives. Go on, boys, another drink, and another piece of your life force belongs to me. My wonderful son, oh darling child, and you'll pay for my dying with every drink past time. And how I love the sweet and bitter and pale ale taste of your waning. Your fading makes me grow in power and hatred, and I will laugh at the new dug grave next to mine.
There was nothing to send him down into deep and dreamless sleep. Too many drunken nights and not enough sober. And so his mind wandered in that strange limbo between the worlds, and there he met...
How nice a visit from my beloved child.
Mother? You're my mother?
Don't you recognise the one you've killed?
I've never seen you.
You've seen my poor body, beaten into deadly childbirth, killed by father and son.
You can't blame me, I'm as much a victim as you.
You are now. Hear that illicit drinking? Feeling tired, are you? Each swallow robs you of your life, just as each swallow robbed me of mine.
Don't do this, you still live on in me.
Go, return to your body, savour it while you may.
Beale tried his hand. There was no need to wait for dreamlike states with the wraith.
There is no. I don't know who you are, but I warn you, stay out of my mind, such as it is.
Beale crouched, melting with shock.
You know I'm here?
He quavered silently, his spirit coursing with ghostly adrenaline. The woman made no reply, only the proverb had broken through her freezing hatred, and she cursed it for a chant of the brain dead.
Give us another pint over here. I'll have Bopper twos.
And so will I.
I had to follow in his footsteps. I've nowhere else to place my feet.
Like father, like son, there's no denying it.
No one talking here, I think. All he can do is imitate. Don't hate me for it, help me.
Ignorance is bliss. The old way is the best.
He always said it.
So they say.
And the wraith waited in her coffin, feeling her powers grow, feeling her son's waning.
Husband on one side, son on the other. What could be more cozy? A family back together again.
Beale changed tack as an idea flew by.
I preferred there is no cure for birth or death. Look at me, whoever and wherever you are, I am that cure.
The old lake waited like a black and hungry mouth.
My powers have grown, there is no need for your chanting.
Dark bushes waited at the water's edge like silent wolves stalking their prey, scenting his blood with patient eyes.
You don't know what you're doing.
Oh, but I do.
It's the only time his old man ever touched water.
Sure, he never tried it more, really.
A lifetime supply all at once.
Well, there's hindsight for you.
You've got to stop this.
He wouldn't be a man by any chance. I can cure your life as well, you know.
Water. You must have it. Drink it. Exult in it. Breathe it in like a lover's scent.
He's your son.
I know that. Don't you think I know that?
He's the life of your life.
His strength was draining, his flesh losing colour, but the water was too close to give up now. Crawling in his agony, the lake glowed bright as midnight approached. He was at the water's edge, his darkening eyes unable to see.
Yes, you still live on in the life of your son.
Grasping fingers felt for the bank top, gripped the edge in a last resolve. Raised himself to his feet, strength almost gone. The clock tower chimed and prepared to strike.
You still live on.
The machinery prepared itself. Its striking arm quivered.
Not anymore. I am the cure. My line ends here.
Philosophy of human character?
We all have many facets. We all have many faces.
Most of us have two, at least.
There are the heads that we have, and the heads that we must wear. The heads that others see.
Cut the bullshit. Make the choice.
The control room. Four Beals, back to back, facing the cardinal points. Four Beals sat upon a circular throne, their trunks merging, their heads as one, four faces upon the only skull.
Where's the fourth stairway? What happened out there?
You're blundering good intentions. She needed pruning. Pruning was the cure for the branch she started.
A true cure for birth and death.
She let him live before you tried to help.
Now he's dead.
And she's still down there.
Safe in her hatred.
Being used again.
I've been used again?
You don't know how much.
Take my advice, take my advice, take my advice, and take the next step.
Make the choice.
What choice?
Which advice
do you think is the best?
Should I know?
You're the one.
You made me.
I will.
Remember that.
Make the choice.
Make the choice, make the choice, and make the choice, and give my advice.
Always the pressures, always demands. Even the hermit has a body to keep.
Leave the flesh of the fate in your spirit.
Feed
my will. There is no cure for
murder
or death.
Make the choice.
We're concerned at the ankle.
Really, quite caring.
At least upon the face of it.
Which face is Queen Don today, I know.
And which face will you choose?
And which face will you choose?
And which face will you choose?
And Beale lost his temper.
None of them. Sod the lot of you. I choose my own path.
A worthy dream, but a dream of fools. The real world circles overhead.
I'm back upon the splintered beach. Not spinning, but walking. Somehow I knew that it was waiting for me.
Ideas about this station. What else did he expect?
In the distance behind me, unreachable, unattainable,
lies a dock filled with many ships, Viking longboats and galleons, pinnaces, great liners and tankers and huge ships of war.
But they're not for me. I turn away from them and see the stone tower, and the sea advances like a slow wolf, nudging at my feet with bloodstained fangs, edging me towards the tower with a flesh-smelling grin.
And on, to another staircase.
You didn't play by the rules. You thought that you knew better.
Always was headstrong.
Wouldn't listen to what you're telling.
Thought that he knew better.
That's all that you wanted of me.
That a shame.
Sea follows. How far can it come?
As a king, can you see?
Found out. I say again, sod the lot of you, I'll see you all in hell.
I doubt it. Hell as well.
Everything
belongs to us.
The stairs spiral upwards and they grow ever more narrow. How narrow will they get?
Yes, it will occupy what time you have left.
So that's it. This is how you pay me.
The payment that comes to us all.
At least my descendant will just wink out. It won't be so easy for me.
Whoever said that life was fair?
You know what it is? You can't trust anybody. I spent all this time climbing stairs for the bloody president. I am the bloody president.
The revolt of a race enslaved. Genetic suicide.
Does the virus spread well?
Like the plague it is.
No more sons or daughters to face the killing holes.
Our sperms are no more dying their untold billions. We are the last generation.
And what of the vile maggots that feed upon our living flesh as we hang in slow agony? Do they die out also?
Their fat bodies kill the virus and the food mold that grows upon their droppings remains untouched.
So the persecutors live on and rob them. Nevertheless, our own race will be freed of its misery.
Yes, we can all die laughing in the killing halls.
More legacies of the past. Nothing but problems for the future.
Why all the double takes? Why the lies and faking?
That's life, son.
And why me?
Why not?
What sort of an answer is that?
The only one you're going to get.
And now, to the stepping domes.
They were your idea. You put them there. Focus the hatred of the people, you said.
So what are you going to do with them?
The stepping domes. POWs set into an escalator, but only their heads are showing, round and round in silent procession. Children come to mock and torture. Some domes get kicked to death. The lucky ones just get crapped on.
That's life, right.
The persecutors want them back and say the war will end.
But we know they want our flesh.
Flesh.
Yet they pledge their blood, they speak the truth.
So what are you going to do, Bill?
After all, you are the president.
I wouldn't trust him to run a piss up in a brewery. Where's me bloody tea, woman?
It's coming, dear. He does have a nice smile, though.
Your destinies are in my hands. Is that all you can say?
Sod off. I'm trying to read the paper. Then I'll know what to say. Where's that bloody tea?
He likes his crumb and his scandal.
Make the choice.
Leave the flesh to the fading slipper.
The worms always get us in the end. Perhaps we should strip away our worldly flesh.
And?
We place our minds in metal bodies. Cyborgs who give their meat to the killing holes. But now there is immortality in metal.
In one spirit, meet and mingle.
When all is done as I have said, release the prisoners. There will be no more war.
You've already done that.
When?
In the future.
The war was long and costly.
They wanted our metal too.
And the prisoners were freed. Reach our defences.
They want you on both our bodies. So I'm afraid you will own it again.
You didn't take my advice, not the right way.
What is the right way?
The way that I want it. The future past will change with someone else. Bye-bye, Leo.
Wait a minute, this was only another test?
The president,
you might have become,
made the same mistakes as you.
Now I need another form.
How can you treat people this way?
I mean, told you, I mean, own hell as well. Have a nice death.
A broken nest of dusty dreams, a yellowed snapshot, creased and limp, toothless mumblings to those long dead. He was the ghostly silt of all these things, the motes of a crumbled hope. It was the time of quietus. He could see it in the air, taste it like a thick scent, tear at it with maddened fingers that failed to grasp the quicksilver. He felt the tide pull of lunacy that only panic brings, and he knew then that he could not win through. He panted open-mouthed in defeat, his salted eyes wincing with perspiration, his furred tongue drowning in the iron tang of blood, and his head pounding with the weakening fury of despair, threatened to burst from his ears in a gory dam break. It was all too much to lose at what seemed the point of winning, to suddenly change the rules in the moment of triumph, cutting the strings that bore him. How could he hope to stand against such caprice? He sank into himself, a collapsing puppet, and waited for that final staircase.
I'm back upon the splintered beach, and the tower with its murderous staircase awaits me.
Gas master!
The tide laps at my feet. It coaxes me towards the stairs and is not the first to do so. I am sick of their manipulation. I will take my destiny in my own hands against their wishes. I never could swim very far. And how that will gall them. How it will stick in their collective craws and rot in virulent bile. I will forever be the foul taste upon their tongues, my name etched upon the hardness of their palates. They will always know me. I am the relentless past, the bad memory that floods the mind during unguarded musings. I will live forever in their skulls and haunt their souls so they may never forget me. Not even in death.
Over the top, duck a dow, don't see the needy, duck a dow, don't sign the treaty, duck a dow, don't feed the greedy, duck a dow, don't be the meaty, duck a dow.
You've been used again.